We're going.
Oh, we did. Oh, good.
We're going. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm joined today by Vaughan Davis, who I've written a list. You must be exhausted, sir. Sunday Social.
I've been out for a run around the lake.
Influential People List 2012. The Goat Farm, which we'll talk about
later. You don't
have
to do anything to be on it.
I know.
Someone else could join a list like that.
Radio host, TEDx Auckland.
Yes.
Aviation, which we'll also talk about.
Yes.
Creative director of many, many, many things.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you here? What are you doing?
As it happens, I'm down thanks to my friends at ASB.
Yes.
Who I have a little bit to do with. I'm their gift to the Food and Grocers Council. I'm giving a talk in the morning.
Oh, awesome. And where's that?
It's at one of the hotels here. I'm not sure. I think it's nearby. I think it's nearby because lots of people have been walking around with lanyards, so I think it might be across the road.
Ah. Mm-hmm. And what are you discussing there then?
The title of my talk is "Everything is Broken and It's Awesome."
Oh, I like it.
So it's about how in the last 10 years, almost any business category or sort of media category you can think of has been sort of tipped on its head, and if your category hasn't been, it's about to be.
Yep.
And looking at the lessons of other things like music and media and retail and taxis and seeing what we can learn from those to apply it to, in this case, grocery retail.
Awesome.
Mm.
Sounds very interesting.
Mm.
Now, your Sunday Social session, when I first, I like radio to be on. It's a very English thing for me. And it used to be on in my house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here, and I have to say, radio was, it was difficult to find radio that I enjoyed.
Oh.
And I know that's not true.
But that all changed.
Because I've searched and found. And when I have radio, so your session to me was like that cozy bit of a Sunday evening.
That cozy bit of
but
a Sunday
that you put
evening.
On, and it's on and it's interesting and it's, and I really like to have the radio on. But I found that it's become less and less and less as I've got older and older and older.
Oh, I thought my show had been on less and less and
no,
less.
No,
oh,
no, no. I really, really like to have shows on a Sunday night. And
oh,
yours
good.
Is one of the ones that I listen to. And I was laughing before I came out because I was listening to the Reece Darby thing you did before about meeting people on Twitter. And I was like, I just emailed you and went, hiya. I could have been some crazed...
Oh, yeah, but you're one of my 10,000 closest friends. So, I mean, that's the beauty of Twitter, is, you know, you get those accidental and not so accidental collisions, and
yes.
You're never far from someone you know.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, like in London, you're never far from a rat.
Well,
I understand. In New Zealand, you're never far from a Twitter friend.
Absolutely. I've met many people. So, talking about social media in this country, where are we at? In this country?
I think we're not very far behind the rest of the world. And I mean, in a lot of the platforms, we're quite enthusiastic adopters of them. So Facebook, you know, we've got 2.5 million people out of our 4.5 million or whatever it is,
yep.
Which is a really high strike rate. Other places we lag a bit behind. Twitter, we're a little bit behind, certainly the US average. So we've got about 350,000, so less than 10%
yeah.
of our population. And, you know, United States, they're well north of 10%. The one place we're way behind is on anything location-based.
Yeah.
So Foursquare, which I think turned into Swarm, and a bunch of those other sort of passive social location-based things, tend not to work so well here because there aren't enough of us in one place.
Yeah.
New Zealand, mostly empty. So that, you know, the things that work really well in, you know, London or San Francisco or Manhattan tend not to work in Queenstown and Timaru and Invercargill.
Because I know from, I mean,
Tinder seems to have done all right. I've got to say,
it
having
has.
Said that, because it's location based.
Yeah, and it's
there are other forces at play.
I have been here for nearly 9 years, so I've really only got into social media through being in New Zealand, but know what's going on back in the UK, and I still find it really hard to, one, get people on board to use things like blogs for businesses, which is what I try and do.
Mm-hmm.
People are still not sure about how effective it is, and it's been proven that that kind of stuff is really effective. But also things like Twitter. I got on Twitter about 6 years ago through sport-based stuff, and I loved it. But people don't get it. They don't get it. They still don't get it.
Yeah, but some people don't get it, won't get it, and never want to.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few people in media. Paul Henry, for example, he'd be great on Twitter. I'd love to have him on Twitter. He's a funny guy. He's, you know, quick on his feet. But he refuses to. He says he, you know, he won't do it. Willie Jackson, who's another Radio Live host, not interested. Which, and I think Twitter's, you know, the poorer for that. But, I mean, I'm never going to shove it down anyone's throat.
No.
I know that small businesses that use social media do better than small businesses that don't.
Yes.
And I know that professional people, especially self-employed ones, do better when they use social media than when they don't. But that's no reason to force someone into it.
In your humble opinion, if a business is going to use it, what's probably the most effective use of it?
The most effective use for any business, I think, to be honest, you know, when there's 350,000 people using Twitter, is to use Twitter to make personal and professional connections with other business people like you,
which
and
is then what,
with your customers.
And I found that you get a quicker response from a business going through Twitter than you do through any other
media. Yeah, but that's a bit, I've been saying about the last 3 years, that's a bit of a Indian summer, or a false golden age. I'm mixing my metaphors. But, yeah, people on Twitter know that they're going to get better customer service than if they rang up the 0800 or sent an email or filled in a form on the website. You know, whether it's a telco or an airline or just, you know, when I tweeted I was coming down here in New Zealand, came back and, you know, wished me a happy journey and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that normally.
Yeah.
But there's two reasons that happens. Firstly, the Twitter customer service effort for a lot of those companies, it's kind of sexy and kind of cool and gets a lot of attention.
Yeah.
So it's over-resourced in terms of the number of people who are actually using it. And secondly, they know that they need to be nice to those people because every one of those customer contacts is public.
Absolutely.
And if I'm, you know, if I'm a call center operator at a bank and I'm rude to a customer, that person might tell her friends. But if the bank tweets rudely to me, everyone sees the whole damn thing happening.
Yeah.
You see this in politics as well. And Stephen Joyce and Sam Morgan, you know, the founder of Trade Me, they had a big online argument the other night, and everyone could see it. but that's probably quite good.
Yeah,
it's probably quite good that stuff is, you know, open and transparent and happening in front of everybody instead of in some, you know, cigar smoke filled bar in Wellington where you have to be, you know, have to have gone to a certain school or have a certain amount of money to be part of that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, anyone with an internet account can be connected with those people, which is great. It's really sort of egalitarian.
And connection is another really big thing for me. Being in a country where my family and friends, I mean, my family is my friends here now. So the connection I have with people would, you know, I speak to my family more than I probably would if I lived in the UK.
Well, they probably just want to look at your pretty pictures.
Well, there is beautiful photographs and things. But it's for me, you know, people are, oh, the social media, it's terrible, it's awful, I'm not on it, I hate it, you know. But for me, it's a connection, and I get to see people grow and learn and change. And
yeah, I mean, social media is not really a thing. Social media is a place where things happen.
Yeah.
And I was talking to the comedian Tereda
the
other day about this on the show. And he's, you know, he gets pissed off with people who say that they hate Facebook or they hate social media because really it's just the place where things happen. It's like saying scenery, I don't like scenery, or, you know, written content, I'm not into written content.
Yeah, we don't have TV in our house.
Yeah, so you can be specific about the sort of people you engage with and how you engage with them. You know, my Twitter and my Facebook will be very different to your Twitter and your Facebook.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you hate that, you hate your friends, basically.
I mean, I won't have pictures of goats on my Facebook or Twitter page.
No, you won't.
But,
and,
you know,
I'll regularly have pictures of goats all over mine.
So what? Where? What? Why? Where's that come from?
Oh, I have a little goat farm, and you know, when you have a little goat farm, you occasionally
Kiko.
What's Kiko?
They're a type of New Zealand goat, apparently.
There are no New Zealand goats.
No,
not really. There are no mammals apart from bats, I think, in New Zealand properly. Everything else just arrived on boats and aeroplanes.
And what's the whole thing around goats then?
Well, I bought this farm on Trade Me one Saturday night, and then
were you intoxicated?
Can't remember. and then got there and discovered there were, well, there were some visits in between. Got there and discovered there were three old sheep just wandering around, you know, not doing a very good job of keeping up with grass and weeds, and needed something, so I got some goats.
Yeah.
You've got to have animals to be a good neighbour. Otherwise, you get weeds and the seeds spread and your neighbours hate you.
I'm a large donkey fan, but if you buy one, you have to buy two, apparently.
Is that right?
They can't live alone.
I wouldn't put a single goat, by, you know, the old tethered goat by the side of the road, I wouldn't be into. Five goats wandering around the paddock, that's kind of cool.
So, TEDx Auckland.
Yes.
I'm involved in TEDx Queenstown here. This is going to be next year, April.
Fantastic.
The 19th. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. We've had two. This is our third. And they seem to be, I was involved in the one in Wanaka, which was a couple of months ago. And they're slowly becoming the thing. Like, they're really, really interesting, creative.
Yeah, they're brilliant. They're brilliant.
Amazing.
I mean, we run TEDx Auckland, have done for the last 3 years, but doing a fourth next year. You know, we have 2,500 people turn up to the Outfair Centre, which is a big council-run venue in Auckland. And they don't turn up because the speakers are famous or they've heard of them or they're interested in the topic. They turn up because they trust two things. Well, they trust the TED brand, and then they trust our organisation team to deliver them a good event, as we have the last 3 years.
Yeah.
When I started doing it, I thought, oh, you've got to get famous people. You've got to get, you know, your Helen Clarks and Neil Finns and things. But I realised it's actually better and more inspiring for people if they sit down and hear amazing ideas from people that have never heard of and who could just as well be just like them.
Yeah.
You know, and you can make more of a connection. You go, oh, that's just some dude I've never heard of. If he can do this, I can do this.
I have a saying that says, even Lady Gaga has a drawer for her plastic bags. We're all the same.
I haven't heard that saying before. She might not.
I bet even Madonna has a drawer for her plastic bag.
They probably have people who
do. You have a drawer for your plastic?
It's a cupboard.
See, everybody's always. Yeah,
I think it was originally intended for baking trays.
I love it.
One of those skinny vertical cupboards.
We're all the same.
Well, I've got a dog as well, so plastic bags are important.
But no, TEDx is an amazing creative gathering, and there's always a real, you know, there's the hype that builds up before it, and then there's the thing after it where people are just like, oh my god, I want to go out and do this, that and the other. And you know, we were saying before, Queenstown's a very, you have to pick away at the layers of Queenstown, because it's not, you know, from people who look into Queenstown, they kind of see this tourist, people throwing themselves off bungees. But there's an actual
That other tourist world of very expensive wine and very expensive food.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I've been to Queenstown maybe 15 times, and those seem to me to be the two worlds of Queenstown. Yeah. You know.
But there's, you know, when I started to blog, it was about showing people that there's such another layer of Queenstown where there's, you know, little things hidden away that people who had been here 10 years didn't even know about, you know. Mm. Or there's that walk that's just like 5 minutes out of town and people who'd been here forever had gone, which
walk?
And it's like, oh my God. So what, Vaughan, what are your three things you like to do when you come here?
The three things I like to do when I come to Queenstown, I like to fly my plane.
Yes.
Very sort of disappointingly, because I have to go to China on Sunday, so I didn't want to risk being stuck down here if the weather turned bad. I had to come down here as a passenger in someone else's aeroplane, but normally I'd bring my own plane. I love flying my plane around here.
Yeah.
I spent a week last year trying to take a friend over to Milford, but the weather never let us, so that's a long-held ambition. Second favourite thing, this is easy, have blue cod and chips at the fish and chip shack down by the lakefront.
Oh, and we recently lost the man who owns
it's someone
that.
Different now. There's Western Samoan woman runs it. But the fish and chips are still very good, especially the blue cod. And I think it's great that a tourist coming in would just look at that and they wouldn't know that the blue cod was special because it's just hidden down in the menu, so you need to know that it's good. And the third thing, which I haven't done for a long time, goes from my running days, would be to walk or run up Ben Lomond, which I've done a couple of times just before breakfast, which is just fantastic.
Awesome. Now, were you involved in the Auckland Marathon?
I've done five Auckland Marathons in the past, but this weekend I just did the 10K.
Well done. Because we've got the Queenstown International First Marathon in 2 weeks.
Yes, I've done the half here years ago. The half was actually it was nice to be in Queenstown. The half, the route for the half wasn't that great. It was busy roads, as I remember.
Yeah.
But it may have changed.
Yeah, this is the inaugural.
Right.
It's been taken over and it's been, lots and lots and lots of people coming to do it. So it's fantastic for the town.
Yeah, it's sort of a balancing act. You want it to be, you want it not to be too hilly, but yeah, you don't want it to be on busy roads.
One marathon you'd like to do that you've not done?
I don't really have any particular marathon ambitions. I'd like to do a I've done the Kepler Challenge over in Tiana four times. And if you do it a fifth time, they give you a special badge.
Yes.
So I'd like to do that a fifth time. And I'm just coming to my prime, because most of the people that do that are in their 50s.
Yeah.
It's an old man's game. Yep. So it's ahead of me.
Mm. Awesome. Okay. So we do quick fire at the end of my podcast.
Oh, cool.
Quick fire. And the question always is always in, Christina or Brittany?
I don't even know who Christina is.
Come on.
Oh, Brittany. I've always wanted to travel to France. So that's what you mean? Brittany, sure.
Mountain or sea?
Mountain or sea? I think mountain.
Pork or beef?
Oh, pork.
Sweet or salty?
Salty at the moment. Well, that's just a thing I'm going through, I think.
Okay. Veg or fruit?
I thought you were going to say veg or meat. fruit.
Two films that are your secret that you'd never tell anyone you liked.
Oh, I've got no secrets. I've got lots of films I like. Hard. Moon. There's a fantastic film called Moon.
I've seen it about three times now.
Yeah, and Duncan Jones, the director, is on Twitter as Man-Made Moon.
So that's, I'll look out for that one.
That's a bit of a favourite. I do like the science fiction. And you know what? I watched The Shining the other night on TV with ads.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was good.
My mum came home one night when we were young and caught us watching it with my dad, and there was hell to pay.
Yeah.
Those girls are never going to sleep.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
One never been to place that you'd like to go.
I've been to a great many places because my first career, really, I was an Air Force pilot.
Yeah.
So I used to travel lots and lots and lots. I don't have any particular burning ambitions. India. Actually, yeah. I've been to the Maldives and Seychelles and Diego Garcia and all those little spots in the ocean around it, but I've never been to India. I'd quite like to go to India.
Fantastic. Mm. And the last question, one album that you had to listen to forever?
If I had to listen to one forever, what would it be? It probably might be Billy Bragg, Workers' Playtime.
Awesome. Vaughan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Enjoy your time here.
I already am.
Thank you.